to know more. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that body I'm gonna receive as my reward. I wanna know more about that homeland. I mean to go there some way, somehow. And after I reach that brand new city, more about my Lord. About my Lord. I want to know more about that body I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. After I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. Amen. It's good to be in the house. You may be seated. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
Happy to be here.
Amen.
You know, I love this message, and I love this place. I know who's here.
Amen.
I enjoyed Wednesday night. Fear not.
Yes.
And he gave out so much information that I went back the other day and listened to the whole service again.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, he gave a lot of tools for me.
Lots.
To put in my toolbox.
Mm.
So when Satan attacks me with fear,
yeah,
I can tell him it is written, fear not.
Amen.
And whenever an angel came to man, whether it be a prophet or what it was, first thing the angel said is, fear not.
Right.
You know, when the angel came to John on the island, he said, fear not.
Yeah.
And told him not to worship him because he wasn't Jesus. He wasn't him. But, you know, so I get, you know, the message I got was fear not. Yeah. So now I've got to learn how to walk in perfect faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the soul doesn't become afraid,
right?
And but the flesh does, because Satan has access. You know, Brother Moore said something to me the other day, and he said, you got to stay in constant prayer. So I guess that's how you walk in faith.
Amen.
Is to stay in constant prayer.
Amen.
But this message covers so many things.
Amen.
And there's nothing like it nowhere.
Nowhere.
You know, you go, I don't care if you go to Baptist, Methodist, where you go, it's all watered down, it's made up, it's man-made,
yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I just want to say I love God, and, you know, I'm a believer,
yes,
and I believe he's in me. He goes where I go.
Amen.
What I see, he sees. Where I step, he steps.
That's right.
And I just love it.
Amen. God bless you. Sister Kara, Brother Henry.
I just wanted to get up here and testify because I was thinking about that song that we were singing, Power in the Blood, and it made
yes.
me think, too, about all the power that this word gives us.
Yes.
It gives us power over fear. It gives us healing power and claiming power,
yeah,
and it just makes you so strong, and no matter what trial you face, you know that God has a promise for you.
Amen.
That no matter what, you have the word to back you up with whatever thing you go through. And I was just thinking about that, and
amen.
Like the Brother Mike was saying, like there's something to be said for that power of fear, because if you let fear get to you, it'll make you forget all the things that God's done for you already. And I'm, you know, we, I don't know, I'm just running out of words, but I'm thankful to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Mike?
It's been a while, but I finally feel like time to beat up a Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll conquer today. I didn't want to just sit there because I noticed it, and I really realized it just sitting there is get out of your comfort zone.
That's right.
If you don't, you're going to fall asleep.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's what happens every time you do.
Come on.
You fall asleep. You fall asleep on the Word. But I just want to say how grateful I am for an understanding, a revelation on grace and how important it was.
Right.
I mean, when I first started coming here, God dealt with me on it. Showed me every single thing I've ever done wrong. Every cookie I ever stole, everything. It was just like going through a book and just flipping the pages. Yeah. I look at that thing, I'm like, I don't even remember doing that, but I did it.
Amen.
And I remember saying, well, what are you going to do now? I was like, I'd throw myself in the mercy of the court. I have nothing. I did it all.
Yeah.
And God said, yeah, but I'm forgiving you for everything. Now you can remember everything you've ever done, but the grace I'm giving you now, remember that and give it to others. The importance of grace. What has anyone in here ever done so bad that you would have to be angry at them or hold a grudge on
them? Come on.
There ain't nothing. The people in here love you.
That's right.
And they do everything they could for you. Anyone ask me, yeah, I'll do anything I can for any one of you guys. I love you guys.
Yes,
we've been together for quite a long time.
Amen.
And I'm appreciate that. I'm glad. That was one of the first things that God ever showed me was grace. Because as freely as I received it, freely can I give. And I'm not going to hold nothing against anyone.
That's right.
Well, no power. Power is saying, hey, I'm more than an overcomer.
That's
right,
why
man. I can get up every day and say, I'm ready to beat up a Sunday. I'm ready to beat up a Monday.
Come on.
Bring it on, Monday. What
yes.
you got? I've got more.
Amen.
I'm just so happy to be here, and I'm glad to be standing. And I'll stand with every single one of you all the way until we march right on out of here.
Amen.
One of these days, we're going to see them coming up there. And I can't wait to see Brother Chills go running down through this aisle.
Yes,
for
yes,
us.
Yes.
Because you know, his heart is right here watching us. He's probably dancing right now.
Oh, yeah.
And Amen. Listening to all of us speak and sit here with this
strong.
Word. We are more than a conqueror. And I just love this message.
Amen.
You know, this thing, it's a pressing way. You know, and I see Brother Mike, he has stood and stood and stood. You know, and I really appreciate that. He's not just big, he's got a big spirit about him, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a big faith about him, too.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
It's not just physical.
Oh, yeah.
He's a strong spiritual
That's
man.
Right.
And I appreciate that.
Amen.
You know, and I mean, from the biggest to the littlest, you know, you got to be a strong spiritual man. And that takes a press.
It does.
You know, I was thinking about Israel this morning, how that, you know, God would send a prophet, and they'd be ready to go fight somebody, get ready to head out for the battle, you know, and God would give the prophet a word, says, tell them I'm with them. Tell them they will prevail.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, but one thing, they had to fight.
Oh, yeah.
They still had to fight.
Okay.
And they had to give everything they had,
to
win the battle. It's good to be reassured, knowing you are going to win, but you still got to fight.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it's by faith, and we got a spiritual warfare.
Oh, yeah.
And we fight by faith. And I was sitting there looking, you know, these seats should be filled.
Mm-hmm. And they are, in a sense.
Anybody who's not here, they've stopped fighting.
Yeah.
They let the devil lull them to sleep, you know, and they took this thing. Maybe they got a little pride. Said, well, I got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Well, you got the Holy Ghost or don't got the Holy Ghost, you better fight. You know,
yeah.
You look at the Old Testament saints. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. It wasn't yet given. But they fought.
They fought.
And they endured. Oh, yeah. And they proved that faith. That love they had for the truth.
Yes.
They proved it every day of their life. And we prove it every day of our life. Holy Ghost or no Holy Ghost. You fight.
That's right.
Don't worry too much about the Holy Ghost. That's up to him. Your part is fighting every single day of your life. Staying with the Word of God. Even Jesus had to fight.
Exactly.
The devil come to him, he had to hit him with the Word every time he came.
Amen.
He say, well, I'm a son of God. I don't. Hey, you got to overcome.
Yeah.
You got to overcome every day of your life.
Right.
And I really appreciate that. And it's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
You just stay where the Word.
Yeah.
You just stay where the light's at. You know, it's
That's
not
right.
that hard.
Right.
Don't let the devil coax you over into the darkness, into the shadows. Stay right where the Word is. You might know just a little bit. You stay right where that little bit is. You know, look at them down through the ages, you know, down through, Luther's day and even before. They didn't have much light.
No.
They didn't have much revelation to stand on, but they stood on what they had. They didn't know.
All of what they had.
They didn't know what we know. Nowhere near.
Not even close.
But they stood on what they had.
Amen.
And God honored that. And God will honor us every time we stay on the Word of God.
That's right.
He'll always meet you right there under that shed blood of the innocent one. Right where the Word of God is. That's where He meets you. That's where He'll keep you. That's where He'll fight your battles for you.
That's right.
That's where the assurance is. That's where the blessing. That's where the rest is. That's where the no fear is.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to know that. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you know, if you don't think this is a battle, you're sitting in the wrong place.
Amen.
He said, you will fight. Fight. Have enthusiasm when you fight, you know?
Sure.
Do it with all that lies within you.
Right.
You know, He said, fight. Be brave against all evil. Don't you dare run.
No.
If you run, it was never in you. Never in you run. Don't even lag behind.
No, sir.
Don't be slow to this. Jump to it. When you see it, it's yours. This belongs to you. The only reason why you ain't got it, because you ain't even asked for it, let alone claim it, you know. And I love this. This is a body, you know. And as a body, we're still on display. We're still here. I don't care if there's 40 of us. I don't care if there's 10 of us.
Mom.
He only said we needed two.
Amen.
Two or more. That's it. So
right.
We're on display. And the job description still remains the same. This word will get out.
Amen.
That's why there's been so much poured into the sound room. So much poured into this ministry. So much poured into pastor going out overseas. When, you know, we have a job to do.
That's
we are fighting the very thicket of the forces of darkness in here. So,
amen.
As a song leader, it's my duty to make sure that I create an atmosphere in here. So,
amen.
I'm going to need the voices. We need the voices up.
Amen, amen.
And Brother Jeremiah, if you could help me sing a song, I Trust in God, and lead us all in that song. Because as a body, we move as one. There's no big eyes or little U's or however you say it. It's a body. We're all equal. We all love one another. And that's how they'll know. That's how they'll know that we have God and God dwells with us because of the love we have one for another.
I'd like for everybody up here. It's good to be here today. And God is good to us.
Amen.
KG. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit. God, my Savior.
So this is my story, and this is my song.
Never fail as long as we trust in God.
Right. Amen. 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 Amen.
Can I say something real quick?
Please.
I just want to say
please.
I trust in God. I love that song. It was perfect. Thank you, brother. But you know, one of the most amazing things that I watch our children, the way they raise their little hands, the way that they enjoy worshiping God. I mean, we are light to them. You know, the word is a light to us.
Oh, yes.
We are a light to them. The word teaches us. We teach them. The way that we react is the way they're going to react. So I just, Kara's little one just blessed me, watching him just raise his little hand. But you know, not just that. I watch Alyssa. I watch my grandchildren and the way that they're worshiping God. I just love this word.
I love it. Oh, amen.
It was a pull. I give everything to God. I trust in Him. He's. I had the last 30 days has been, but I trusted in Him and He pulled me through. I mean, we're standing here and my son's here. Amen.
I just want to say I trust in God.
Yes.
But that's not also the ending.
No.
Amen. That's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning.
That's just the first step.
My.
There's such a journey after trusting God. Because He also said, do you have the Holy Ghost once you believe?
Yes.
You know, so there's steps to this. Have you received since? So since you believe and trust in Him and having faith totally in Him, He said, let every man's word be a lie, but not his.
Right.
So when we're looking at this, always look at God's word.
Always
believe what his word says over top of what man said. So that means over the doctors, over the lawyers, over everybody, every woman, every child. I mean, it is God. It's his word. He said, you stand on my word and I will never fail you. And I'm trusting him today more than ever. The journeys that you go through life helps you stand. It helps you trust him. Every obstacle, every sickness, every heartbreak, all of that, he gets you through because it's bringing faith to him. It's his glory that we're doing. It's all for his glory. And I stand here today and I say, thank you, Lord, for every obstacle, every heartache, every burden. It just makes you stronger. I said, I am like the tree planted by that water. I shall not be moved. So I just thank God today for everything that he's ever done for me. I thank God for all the people in the body. I love you guys. I think about you all the time because you are examples to me, just like our sister said. And I want to be an example to you. And if I've never been an example to you, please forgive me. Put it to my flesh and not my soul. God bless you.
Amen.
Can I testify a little bit, or is it my turn?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll just, you know, this is such a late hour, and this is such an opportunity, even though there may not be a whole lot of people here, but God doesn't need a whole lot of people. And when I hear the voice is in the bride, the prophet is gone. The messengers to that Laodicean church agent, they gone. Elder Childers, whom God quickened that angel to him in 73, he's gone. Now, where is it? Where is it? We are the final voice. I either going to claim what God has given me, or I'm just going to sit down. I might as well pack up and go home. I'm going to tell you one thing, saints. I'm in for the long haul. You know what? If I gave 50 last time, I want to give it more. I give it 100. If I gave it 100, I want to give it 150. You got time? You got time? Put the microphone. Somebody, you know, this is where, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
When I hear Brother Juskins testify, something within me stirs. When I hear Brother John talk about what he's going to do, something within me stirs. So you know what? You sharpen me, so I'm going to sharpen you.
Get rowdy.
Let me throw mine a little bit.
It's a party.
Somebody got up and said, and it was Brother Justin. If you're in the battle for the Lord and the firing line, if you win my brother, surely you
service will come.
let's so next order of business. I'm gonna sing one song because I'm just the spirit in here right now is so great. I just want to worship him.
Let Brother John testify.
Yeah, Brother John, I got him.
I want to hear it.
Yes, come on up.
I always want to hear Brother John.
Amen. Gotta have that elder in there.
Amen.
I just praise God.
I know it.
Amen, Brother Don. You inspired me. This is a pressing way. Yes. You know, we talk about just a few people here. You know, there was a day when Sister Alice and me would come to the church. Right. Brother Moore would preach.
Right.
And we would make a tape and we would put it on the radio.
Right.
And that word touched so many people.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't take many people.
No.
It doesn't. It's not in numbers, people. It's not in numbers. And this is a pressing way. You have to press. You know, the natural types of spiritual. You know, we get a few inches of snow. Now, if you can shovel through that and get out of that and get to church,
Amen.
That's a pressing way.
Yeah.
But that's in the natural. In the spiritual, you got to press through. You know, we all go through things in our life. Every stage of your life has something.
Yes.
From the youngest to the oldest.
Amen.
Every stage has something. In every stage, you have to press through.
Yeah.
And how you press through is with the Word of God. How you press through is believing the Word of God.
Amen.
You don't feel it. You don't feel it. Sometimes you might feel it, but you may not feel it. You may feel down. You may feel sick. You may feel this or the other. Press over it. Apply the Word of God. That is the only thing. The Word of God is the thing we stand on. There's nothing else we stand on. People saying nice things to you. People holding you up. That isn't it. It's the Word of God. And I have learned that, and I hold to the Word of God. I've been through a lot. And I've come through a lot, and I've lived, and the Word of God has brought me through every time. And I can stand up here as an example and tell you that.
Yes,
use the Word of God.
Yes.
Press the Word of God.
Yes.
Get to church. Amen. How many times has God told us to get to church?
Amen.
You're almost disobedient to not listen to it.
Come on.
You know, I'd almost have to look at you and say, are you born again?
Come on.
When the pastor, how many times has he said, get to the house of God. And then we don't listen. It's the simple things he tells us to listen to. It's not high and mighty. It's when the pastor says, do this, do that, obey, and God will bless.
Amen, amen. I love that. I love it just like that. Let's sing the blessing. Yeah. Sister Mel, you'll be the last one.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you.
Let's sing that again. Lord bless you.
Lord bless you.
And keep you.
And keep you.
May his face shine upon you.
Make his face shine upon you. And be gracious to you.
Lord, turn his.
Lord, turn his face toward you. And give you peace.
Singing amen.
Singing amen. 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 Singing amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead, Sister Mel. You'll be the last one.
Thank you. Nothing like coming in a little late and being the last one to testify. Good morning, body. I just wanted to get up today and testify that I'm happy to be in 2025, believe in this word. And Brother Jeremiah, you sure preached a message the other day. And I've listened to that tape a couple of times. I'm sorry, message, not tape. That's a little old. But it was so, so powerful because not just the message itself, but the brother had 30 minutes to prepare. Yeah. And I think about us testifying, and it's so hard for us to do that. And he gave us a whole message.
Come on.
With at the drop of a dime, and I'm like, know it's God.
You know
and
it.
I appreciate our ministry that gets out of the way and let God use them. And you gave us so, so much as far as what is needed to be a disciple. And I still say I'm not worthy, but God, you know, I chose you, he chose me. And I am getting out of the way so he could tell me what it is he wants me to do. And it was something, I believe it was Brother Seth that said, how do people know to approach you if you don't look approachable? If you don't look like a child of God, how do they know you have something that you can bless them with?
Right.
That was powerful, brother. I mean, people say it's not how you look, but it's all they see.
That's right.
And I took that home with me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was huge to me because, you know, it's not just what you wear, but it's how you present yourself.
Amen.
And I appreciated that.
Amen.
But that message, Brother Jeremiah, I'm still going to listen to that again because it was so full. And, yes, it was. The meat was in the first and second verses, but all through that chapter.
All through it.
Oh, my God. And I just appreciate you all getting out of the way and letting God use you to bring us these messages. And thank you to our pastor and brother Pardillo, if I say it correctly, for going all the way over to India to bring this word because they say, I'm sharing my knowledge in the message, but it's a whole lot of meat in that message. So just thank you to you all for giving us the meat of this day. And that means so much. I know what it means now because it's words that's been around for a long time. But to bring it up to this day when you can utilize it,
amen.
When you walk out of those doors, it means so much. So just I'm blessed to be here, and I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this body. Amen.
Amen. You know, there's never been a service that I've come in here and came left the same. And, you know, I never want to go a service without, you know, at least acknowledging and giving flowers to our ministry. We've got some of the most powerful ministers in this place. Two can take out 10,000. I mean, think about it. They could flush out 10,000 easily at a drop of a hat. I've always heard Brother Jay's always said it to me. He's like, you got to be instant in season and out of season. When you don't feel like it, you could be getting out of bed or you could be going into something that you got takes deep thinking, and then God will call on you right there just like that. And you got to bring it. Amen. Bring the vessel. People think it's just a bunch of stuff that you got to bring. No, just bring the vessel. Bring what God needs and he'll use it better than you'll use it. So I want to go over these announcements here. As you guys know, Pastor Moore's gone to India. He'll be gone till the 27th of this month. So just continue to keep him in your prayers. Continue to keep, you know, India in your prayers as well, because God's going to India. If there's no God out there, he's out there now. So just continue to keep praying for him. And then on January 31st through February the 2nd, Brother Jeremiah and our precious Brother Jay will be going to San Diego to fellowship with them. You know, we got to have water going in and coming in and going out. And that's scriptural. So we are doers of the word here, and they'll be gone till February 2nd. And then February 9th, Sunday evening, no fellowship, or no Bible study, but we have an evening fellowship, so more to come on that. And then February 22nd, for the youth, We have a fellowship at Brother Schuyler's house. I don't know exactly what we're going to do, but it's going to be a great time. So,
we're going to have fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. It's always a party when we get together. So, all right. Oh, the blood of Jesus, key of F, and then we'll get the preacher up. God bless the testimonies. Love this body.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
I like that. Let's sing that again.
Oh, the blood of Jesus, singing, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Let's sing that again. One more time.
Singing, oh, the blood.
Just sing it with me, hallelujah.
Singing of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Jesus.
No, one more time.
Singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Washes white as snow.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together one more time to fellowship and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, the testimonies were inspiring, the songs were inspiring, the leading by you, Lord, just to get us through the worship part, to get us to the word. Lord, that's what we come here for. Thank you for blessing us with that opportunity this morning to just move out of the way, Lord. Continue to move the hearing and the speaker out of the way as we approach the word and enter into your presence even more, Lord. Lord, bless those that are traveling, Lord. Bless our pastor as he gets on the plane now to head towards India to do your will, Lord. Lord, bless us here as we're here to hear your word here, Lord. Lord, that's the beautiful thing about you, is you're here, there, and everywhere. And we're going to worship you in spirit and truth here, and they're going to do the same in India. Lord, bless the service today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here. Appreciate the testimonies. We are a very blessed group. There's no other way to say it, really. We're just a blessed group. I mean, it's vindicated by when you hear us. Our actions show it.
I mean, just in time and service, when you think about Fairborn, we've been a rock to a lot of people. Amen. An unmovable rock. Pastor Moore even said one thing one time when Brother Rosaldo was here. He said, you know, who else would hold your hand up for 30 years? Right. Think about that for a second. Who else would be there for 30 years right. holding you up? That's it. And that's just a Brother Rosaldo. That's not right. you, me, here and there. I mean, that's just a Brother Rosaldo as an example. You know, who else have you been able to depend on for 30 years?
Amen.
Who else has been standing with you for 30 years? That's one example. Like you talk about prayers being answered. I always get my prayers answered.
Always.
He always hears me. And, you know, and I love even how my mom said, you know, like, you know, when you trust in God, that's the start of it. That is the start of it. You know, talking about like, it just got my mind thinking. I'm going to testify a little bit, but then I'm going to preach. I don't know. It feels like I haven't been preaching for a long time, so I don't know what it is. It's been a year since I preached, all right? But I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, when the disciples, we talk about disciples, and it just got my mind thinking about it, hearing you guys testify about it, and I'll get to the scripture in a little bit. But the disciple, there was a disciple that said, Jesus, can I walk with you? Can I walk with you? Yeah, you can walk with me. Come on out here. Now this, let's talk about the circumstances. That disciple had been walking with Jesus for a long time. He had been with Jesus for a long time and seen all the miracles, seen all these things, was on the boat, and Jesus had walked on the water, something that he thought was impossible. And the disciple looked at him and said, man, that looks, I want to do that too. Did God hinder him?
No.
Did he say, no, this is divine water. These are divine feet. I bypassed my theophany. You didn't. You can't walk where I walk. You can't do what I do. You can't say what I say. He didn't hesitate one second. He said, come on out here. I bid you to come. I bid you to walk with me. I want you to come with me. Come and walk this walk with me. Join me in this walk. Oh, and that disciple, absent of fear, just looking at the word, with faith,
amen.
Stepped out on it.
Yes.
Stepped out on it.
Yes.
Just kept walking.
Yes.
But then what happened when he stopped looking at Jesus? Remember, this ties into Brother John's testimony. Pastor Moore says, get to the house. Just, that's your first step of listening. Don't tell me you're going home to study. Don't tell me you're looking this up. Don't tell me you're doing any of the other things. Because if he asked you to read 1,000 message books, you'd probably do it. But if he just tells you to get to the house, oh, it's not that important. I can listen in. That's what people do. That's one of the first steps of walking out. It really is. You get so busy that you go, I'll just listen in. That's walking out. That's not keeping your eye on the prize. That's not what the instruction said. It said, get to the house. That much more. You say, how can I get here more? Well, get here when we got song practice. That's more. Get here when we got Wednesday night service. That's more. Won't you come on Bible study? That's more. Don't talk to me about how confusing this is, because God has made it super simple. But back to that story. The disciple says, can I walk with you? Jesus says, come on out here. As long as he kept his eye on the instructions, as long as he just did what God said to do, he was walking lockstep. The second he took his eyes off of him, let me, you, like Sister Kara said, see, that's why I said all these testimonies tying together.
Yeah.
Sister Kara said, you know, when you stop listening, that's when fear creeps in.
Right, yeah.
That's how it works with darkness. As soon as you turn off the light, you ain't got to wait a while.
No.
You don't got to wait a half an hour. Immediately, if I hit the lights here, darkness is waiting. It's just, I'm on the scene. The second light is absent, darkness shows up.
Amen.
It's almost like it's here the whole time.
Yeah.
It's waiting.
Waiting.
That's what happened. That disciple took his eyes off of Jesus the second he took it off. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Lord, did you bring me out here to die? He forgot all the promises, forgot all the miracles, forgot even who he was reaching for. That's what happens. You know that'll happen here?
Yeah.
You can, and I'll tell you just simple examples. You can be walking with Pastor Moore for 30 years on water, walking on water. Your life is better. Your finances are better. Your home is better. Your kids are better. I'm just telling you how God will bless you. I'm telling you just from my own experience. You ain't even got to tell me your story. I'll act like I ain't seen you. I'll act like I ain't been with you for 30, 40 years. I'll just say me. As long as I got my eyes on those instructions, I'm walking on water. Me and my wife's relationship is in harmony. Me and my kids are in harmony. My job is in harmony. Everything. I'm seemingly walking on water. The second I take my eyes off of that and put my own thinking on it and go, Pastor Moore, you don't know my wife like I do. What? You don't understand my kids struggle like I do. Whoa. Then I get out there and I start drowning. Now there's water everywhere. Lord, have thou forsaken me? I got a wife that won't listen. I got kids that are stubborn. I got a job that won't let me live. I got all these problems. Well, who moved?
Amen.
Who moved? What happened? What happened? Did getting to the house lose the priority? Did God lose his preeminence? That's when fear creeps in. So that just made me think about it. I thought, you know, we're talking about being disciples, talking about love, but that's a perfect example of what happens when you take your eyes off the prize. That's why it's so important to get to the house. You know, just getting to the house, it changed. To even get here, you got to make it a priority. Talk about even shoveling the snow. Come on now. If I have to go to work, I'll shovel the snow. I'll pay a neighbor to move it. I won't park in my driveway. I'll do everything I need to do. If I have to be at work on Monday, I promise you, Sunday, I will be doing whatever I need to do to make sure I'm at my job on Monday. It won't matter if my boss says be in at 7, that means I'll start shoveling at 5. If he says I get to be there at 9, I'll start shoveling at 7. But that's just in the natural. That job will be here today and gone tomorrow. They'll replace me in 20 minutes. No matter what job it is, you can run the company and the board will say, hey, thanks so much for your services. See you later. And they'll have you replaced by Tuesday afternoon. They already got a replacement waiting. It's almost like the darkness. They're waiting for you to not be there. And you'll sell out everything to go to a place that's waiting to replace you. But for 2 seconds of what it takes to just get in that right atmosphere to come to the house of God, somebody has given you everything. The ability to walk on water. The ability to talk to God face to face. I'd almost have to say you're an unbeliever if you don't take that simple instruction. Because it just looks like you unbelieve. It looks like you don't care about the word. It looks like you're just disrespectful. Amen. I'm just telling you what it looks like. You talk about dressing like a Christian, talking like a Christian. You look and sound like an unbeliever. When God gives you a word and you tell me that's God, see, I'm not even going to go off of what I say God is. I'll go off of what your testimony was. You'll come in here and say, God bless me. Pastor Moore told me, and I did. And I go, well, you must believe God. And then a couple services go by and you'll be at home. And pastor's still saying, get to the house, and you're still sitting at home. I go, nah. Now, I believed you when God said to do it. Now, what am I supposed to do now? I'm just telling you as a person. Who am I supposed to believe is talking to you? Because you look like you're confused in all your ways. And God's not the author of confusion. When God says to do something, he just says to do it. He didn't care how long it took Noah to build the ark. He said, build the ark.
Amen.
Noah didn't stop at year 6 and go, you know, I don't even know how to build this ark. I'm putting it together. He told me the cubits. But if he would have gave me a picture of what it looked like, that would have been more beneficial. Once you reveal the vision, the whole thing, don't just tell me the measurement. Tell me the whole, show me the picture. Tell me when I'm going to be done, Lord. I'm just telling you examples in the Bible what happens. But you come in here and think you got a right to just not go all the way, not push, not give. You're giving. Matter of fact, when Brother Jeremiah read over in the book of Romans, in chapter 12, it said, just your life is your reasonable sacrifice. You giving your entire life is your reasonable sacrifice. And I'm not even doing it as I'm paying pittance. It's just a thank you. I don't owe God. I'm just saying thank you, Lord. Because what he gave me, I can't pay for anyway. Amen. The grace, the eternal life, the satisfaction, the peace of mind, I can't pay it back anyway. I'm just filthy rags. So my life is just a reasonable sacrifice as a way to say thank you.
Amen.
That's like your kids going out to eat and acting like they could pay the bill. The best you can do is just say thank you. You can't cover this bill. You don't even know what it costs. It says market price right there. Wait till they bring the tab. I'll cover it. But you just say thank you.
Amen.
That's all it requires. So every service, you got an opportunity to remind yourself that God did this. God gave me this peace of mind. God gave me this rest. God did all this. Oh, the only thing I did was give him my body as a willing sacrifice. He don't need your smarts. He don't need your strength. He don't need any of that. He needs a willing sacrifice. Just your body. That's it. He'll take care of it from there. Anyway, I'm happy to be here. I am happy to be here. We got Pastor Moore off this morning. Me, Sister Clarice, and Sister Mel, we got him off. He's headed out. God bless him. And then he said that Praveen will be able to join him. He's going to join him for the trip, so that'll be awesome. So our prayer is that he's able to record it
That would be awesome for Venus saying that he's thinking that that may be the case. So, you know, 70-80% sure that'll happen. That'll be awesome if they can do it. I know there's certain limitations over there with internet and all that kind of stuff. But Praveen's been over there for a little bit. We're coming up on his 1-year anniversary of being married. So he's been over there for a little bit, but I'm thinking he'll be able to figure that out. So if that happens, that'll be great. Also, praise God for Brother Lockett. He's back.
Amen. It's good to see him. It is really good to see you, brother.
We miss you when you're not here. And you're one of our deacons, and we love and appreciate you, brother. So we were praying hard. That's an answer to the prayers. Even seeing Dylan here, I know Sister Beth got up and talked about him, and it's good to see him. It's good to see all y'all.
Amen.
It really is, because, I mean, like, you know, these are answers to unspoken prayers, really. I mean, you know, seeing Sister Judy with her granddaughter, that's an answer. That's a prayer she had, a prayer I had. Good to see her, you know. I mean, so those are things, you know, seeing Sister Sue, seeing Sister Christy, just seeing everybody. I'm just telling you, I take inventory. I'm like a dog. I might not speak, but I understand. I see who's coming in, who's going out. I see all those things. Why? Because I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I really am. I have compassion in my heart for all of you. I look at you and I can see what you're going through on a certain level, and I go, man, God bless them. God bless them. And it's one of those things. I ain't got to have a lot of discernment. If I don't see you, I know something's going on. I know you're battling. I don't care if it's just work. You're battling work. You wish the schedule would be different. I know it. As a believer, that's my assumption, is that you want to be here. I don't go in this thing thinking I'm talking to unbelievers. I come here thinking I'm talking to believers. If you prove yourself a liar, it's because you're a liar, not because I'm putting false expectations on you. I'll never put anything on you, then you don't ask. If you say you can sing, then sing. If you say you can testify, then testify. But you had to say it. Anyway, let's get in here and get into the Word. I'm excited about what God's been doing with us. I'm anxious to see how this year unfolds. You know, for the couple of years, everything just seems to work out lockstep like that. And, you know, Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah, my goodness, Brother Jeremiah preaching that God's power to transform. And that message will, that'll stick with me for a long, long time. You know, like Sister Mel said, not having the ability to get ready, you know what I mean, in a sense to, that whatever was in him was going to come out, right? Like, that's just what happens when the squeeze happens. When the squeeze happens, if you got some revelation in there, then that's all that's going to come out. That's it. And we got to see that Brother Jeremiah is loaded. He's a loaded wagon. He don't need a lot of time. Matter of fact, even the Sunday before you guys had the service, he had to preach then too. He had another 20 minutes to get ready. So I don't know. I don't know how this works, because last night I knew I was preaching today, and I had a terrible night. So I don't know if maybe 20 minutes might be better. I don't know. I don't want to try it. I don't want to try it. Let me throw that out there. I do not want to try that, Brother Jeremiah. But I'm just thinking, I'm like, man, we worry a lot for really no reason. But I'm talking to myself here, because I toss and turn, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like everybody. You got nerves and human, and it's like, you don't want to waste anybody's time. Right? We all made it through something to get here. I'm not trying to waste your time. You know, so I appreciate what God's doing. But, you know, Brother Jeremiah preached on that God's power to transform. And I just thought about that. I thought, you know, and my mind kept going to different scriptures and different things. And I thought, you know, we always wondering, like, how is he going to transform us? How is he going to do this? Do we need to help him? He don't need no help. Amen. He don't need no help. I mean, like, in our minds, we think, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. God don't need your help for that. Like, he doesn't need any. You don't have to come up with some great equation, some algorithm to make sure you get out of here. God's going to make it happen. He, just like everything else, you didn't do nothing to get Paul here. You didn't do nothing to help Irenaeus. You had nothing to do with Branham. You did nothing for Childers. You did nothing for Moore. You're going to do nothing for yourself. All you're going to do is just believe the Word, and everything else will follow. It's his promise. He's the one that promised it. Let him do it. My job is just to be a believer.
Amen.
That's it. And I thought, man, and it just got me thinking. I thought, you know, let's look at a couple of examples of God transforming people. Yeah. Just through the Bible. We got a couple of Bible examples we can look at, and then we'll get to some real life examples current day. Amen. But I thought, man, let's look at some of these examples, because sometimes we think, oh, I'm so bad. I can't be, I'll never be able to. But every story I read, God takes one end of the extreme and takes it to the other. And I thought, man, I think we don't give ourselves enough credit. I'm,
the more stories I look at, I'm like, I'm not as bad as I thought I was. All right? And that's me defending myself, but I look at that and I go, maybe I'm not as bad as I thought I was. So let's go over and look a little bit. You know, one of the stories I want to look at is Paul. And, you know, so Paul, let's just look at him for a little bit. And we got scriptures and stuff like that that we can go through. But just for context, we all are familiar with Paul's preaching. And Paul was a disciple. Paul came on late in the game, though. Paul came in late. And Paul had a little bit of a problem. Back in those times, the Jews thought the message, the gospel that we talk about, the gospel, the good news, Jesus dying and being resurrected, that's considered the gospel. Go spread the good news is what they'd say. Go tell the good news. Jesus died and rose again. That's the good news. But Paul thought the good news was dangerous. Him and the Jews were like, that's not good news. Don't tell that message. So much so that they were persecuting, killing off Paul. Paul was killing Christians. Like, that message is dangerous. Paul. Now, for context, we know Paul. Now, Brother Seth has already mentioned that Romans is becoming one of his favorite books. Paul wrote that. Paul wrote 13, 14 books in the New Testament. I don't even know all the names of them. I'm a baby in this thing. I keep claiming that till I'm not allowed to. But Paul, in all seriousness, Paul persecuted the Christians. So much so that when Paul got a vision to come on over to the other side, those disciples were like, no, not that guy. He's killing people. He's a murderer. Paul was killing Christians. Now, at the time, he was part of the majority. That was the Jews. That was what they were doing. Paul was killing Christians. Paul had a transformation. Paul got a word from the Lord and changed everything about him. Everything about him. He went from don't ever tell this news, don't say anything about it, to it became and consumed his entire life. Gave his life for this gospel, for the gospel. Paul went on and started telling the good news. Paul got so inspired. God kept talking to Paul. That's the part I want to keep adding in there. God kept talking to Paul, so much so that Paul had a revelation that said, if anybody else comes and tells you something different than what I'm telling you. Now, this is the guy that had already changed his mind. This is the guy that had went from killing the Christians to helping the Christians. He said, if anybody comes and brings you something else than what God has told me to tell you, let it be a curse. He said, if an angel comes from heaven and tells you something different than what I'm saying, let it be a curse.
Amen.
That's how transformed Paul got.
Amen.
That's how much Paul got changed. Amen. And you don't think you can be changed?
Come on.
That's why I said, maybe I wasn't so bad. I wasn't killing Christians.
Amen.
I might not have been a good example, but I wasn't killing y'all.
Right.
I might have been killing my testimony, but I wasn't killing people. Right? I'm just telling you low. Like, sometimes you overthink this thing. Sometimes you overcomplicate this. My life has been such a wreck. Start today and be quiet. If God's talking to you, let him keep talking to you. He'll transform you what he's got to have you to do. Don't overthink it. Oh, I got to know so much. I got to do so much. The church needs to dip. You do what you're supposed to do. God will work out all the rest of it. That's Paul. Let's go to another example. The brother on Wednesday night was talking about David. Even Brother Jeremiah brought out David. David. Now, we talk about it, but let's dive into it a little bit, because David was the opposite of masculinity. So much so that when the prophet came, David wasn't invited. The prophet said, get your men, your boys, warriors, soldiers that's able to fight. Be brave against all evil. Right? Never run. They ran. They hid. They did all those things. But beginning, let's talk about it. When the prophet went there, David was so weak, so wimpy, so soft, that his dad didn't even invite him to the meeting. Hold on to that for a second.
Because you keep thinking, oh, I'm not strong enough. I can't carry this thing. I can't do this. If God is with you, you can do anything. He took the weakest of soldiers and made him the strongest soldier. So much so, as God kept talking to David, he transformed him. David went from the weakest person to the man amongst men. Matter of fact, it got to the point that if David himself said he was going to battle, the other fighters, I don't want to fight David.
Right.
I don't want to go against David. God's with David.
Right.
I don't want to go against David. That's the most mighty army. He can conquer anything.
Right.
So much so, and before that, David goes to where Goliath is, and all those other soldiers, all those other brothers, his brothers, that had got invited to the meeting, when Goliath was there, when that mountain, that unbelieving Philistine,
Amen.
Was cursing their God,
yes.
They had so much fear. They had seen the miracles. They had the Bibles. They had the scrolls. They knew who God was. They went to the same Bible study that David went to. They got the same teaching that David got. They knew the same prophet that David knew. But when Goliath was standing there testing their faith, they had fear. They didn't see God anymore. David didn't even care the size of Goliath. He heard what he said. He said, "Who is this that is talking about my God? I will chop your head off with your own sword. Today this will happen." David wasn't thinking, "Oh, let's see what happens. Let's see what God wants." No, God's been talking to me my whole life. When he talked to me about the bear, I slew the bear. When he talked to me about the lion, I took care of the lion. Now that I got to take care of Goliath, I'll do it with the same stone and sling that I did the last two. Those brothers were sitting there hiding. They were hiding, scared. They were weak. They were soft. They were afraid. They weren't warriors. And David looked at it. "I'll take him out today." Whoa, David, before you go, you're going to need all this stuff. You're going to need our superficial armor. You're going to need to put on this stuff. You know what David told him? Now, getting into the scriptures there would be hard for me to do right up here, but David said, "This hasn't been proven. This armor that you want me to wear, I don't know if it'll work. This sword that you're handing me, I've never used it before. The helmet you want me to wear, that ain't my helmet. It's not been proven. Give me something that I know already works. Give me something that's already been tested." That's how I feel when somebody tells me, "Oh, I got to go find the Lord." Nah, you go find him. What I have has already been proven. I don't want nothing new. Don't give me a new version of the Bible. Don't give me a new version of masculinity. Don't give me a new version of how I got to hear from God. Give me what's already been proven. Give me what helped me when depression was trying to set in. Give me what helped me when misconception was trying to set in. Give me what helped me when infertility was trying to set in. Give me what helped me when confusion was trying to set in. Give me what gave me my revelation in this hour. Give me what gave me my new birth today.
Amen.
That's what I want to use when I go out there and fight the world. I want to use something that's proven. Oh, my. So how am I going to be transformed? Not with something new. Not with something I don't see. But give me something proven. Give me something that I know will work.
Amen.
But that was because God and David kept fellowshipping. Kept fellowshipping. Matter of fact, it gets over in the book of Acts where God says, "David's a man after my own heart."
Right.
Now, not to overglorify all of David's misdoings, but David lived a terrible life. Don't have no better way to say it. David made a lot of bad decisions. Made a lot of bad choices when left to his own devices. But when God told David to move, you know what David would do? Move. Now, he was just a human like everybody else. David got away with everything he could get away with. Don't act like you're exempt. You get away with whatever you can get away with. Right? And I like to make this real because, you know, sometimes people try to, I don't know why, but it just keeps hitting me. Sometimes people over-spiritualize all this stuff. And it just frustrates me because every time I see somebody over-spiritualize something, that's a danger zone for me. Like, it just, it's like red flags in a relationship. I'm like, uh-oh. You're over-spiritualizing, you're going to walk yourself out of here. Because anyway. You just over-spiritualize it. But David had a lot of bad things.
Right?
Let's get back to that. He did things wrong. He did all this stuff. And I think, you know, sometimes we
we don't even want to admit that we do bad things. Right? I mean, I'm trying to think of something that's vanilla. And I'm bad at that. Because we're online. Yeah, like, in your car, when you're driving, do you always got Christian radio playing? I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm going to do like Pastor Moore. If I hit all five presets in your car, are all of them 93.7? Right? I'm just saying, right? You got a chance. You're in your own car. You're controlling the atmosphere. You can make it whatever you want it to be. It's your car. You can listen to whatever you want. What do you listen to? What do you encourage yourself with?
Amen.
Right? Are you learning new songs for search? Right? I'm just being real with you. Because we always act like, oh, I'm doing my best. Are you, though? Are you doing your best?
Amen.
Because part of this, to be that disciple, it's got a level of unselfishness that a lot of people don't want to do. You know, even Pastor Moore's poem about love is a stepping stool so that somebody else can go higher. That's love. You know, even in a marriage, love means you don't get what you want. Because when you really love somebody, and I'm not even going to give you like 100 platitudes and all these motivational speeches, but when you really love somebody, you're happy when they're happy. It doesn't matter. Like, an example, my wife likes salmon. Right? She likes to eat that. I don't. But when we go to the store, I buy salmon. And I'll buy salmon every day if she wants to eat salmon. And if we run out of money on salmon and I can't buy the steak, I'm going to eat salmon. And she's going to be happy. And I'm going to be happy because she's happy. But that's why I'm happy, is because she's happy. I truly love my wife. I want her to be happy over my happiness, because my happiness is predicated off of her. Right? That's, I know it sounds complex if you're not in a relationship, but it's true. I'm happy when she's happy.
Amen.
If she's got a nice car and I got to walk, I'm happy because she's happy. That's just how I'm wired. I'm happy when she's happy. That's the same for my kids. If they got a coat on and they're warm and I'm standing outside cold, I'm happy that they're warm. I'm happy that they're happy. That's how love works. But you're going to tell me you love me, but you don't care if I'm happy. You're going to tell me you love this church, but you don't care if the message gets out.
Right.
You're going to tell me you love this word, but you don't have any care on making sure it goes forward.
Right.
You tell me you love the ministry, but you don't support it. You tell me you love the songs, but you can't sing them. You tell me you love the church, but you don't know where we're at. You tell me you love this place, but you don't ever get here.
Right?
Who's really giving here?
Amen.
Sounds like you're a taker. Be doers and hearers of the word.
Right.
Doers
Amen.
Of it.
Amen.
Give. You know, and that makes me think of something.
Amen.
I don't know how I got here, but appreciate those young people back there knocking out that sound room.
Amen.
We are truly blessed to have those young people doing what they're doing.
Right.
You know, I was telling Pastor Moore, I said, I feel a little bit like, you know, like having the Joshua and Caleb. And I'm going to tell y'all this real quick and we'll get moving on it. But it's a real example. You know, talking about examples. So we were doing a little class with the young people about, you know, the sound room or whatever. And I was like, okay, here's how you start a service. And they were, psh. Riley's got her phone recording the instructions. Micah's writing out every instruction. Jonathan's got his tablet writing out the instructions. So much so, we get done, and they're like, we got it. And I'm like, oh. Oh, my. Obedience looks different. Wow. Right? That's weird. I'm just telling you, I'm just telling you how it went. This is fact. I was there. I had to know. Right? That when you have somebody that's just willing, it didn't matter what they knew. Of course, nobody knows the sound room. None of us. Me included. Right? Like, I'm learning it. But you got to go back there and learn it. But they came with a willing, like, childlike faith. Hey, you know it. You're going to tell me. And then I'm going to do what you say. That's it. Guess who's able to enjoy the service this morning because of that? Me.
Right.
I'm able to sit here and enjoy the service. Elise is sitting here enjoying the service.
Amen.
You can hear me. We're enjoying the service. Pastor Moore's traveling. He can hear the service. Why? Because a group of people just decided to listen.
Amen.
That's getting the message forward. Right? Oh, what did they know before they got there? Nothing.
And you can pretend all you want to, Satan. You can be like, well, they're young. They know how to use their phones. Shut up. Shut up. I don't even want any time for it. Because every one of you have a phone. So don't act like only 13-year-olds know how to use a phone. You all have a phone. I've done the church directory. I saw all your phone numbers in there. I saw all your emails in there. So you know how to use a phone. You know how to use the email. So don't give me this technology junk. They just came in with a willing heart and a willing vessel. So praise God for their willingness. That's it. Don't try to explain it away, over superficialize it, make it super spiritual. It's just a willing heart that came in ready to learn. And that's what we're rejoicing about, is this a willing congregation, willing to learn, willing to pick up the word of God and just go with it. When God says be a disciple, you know what they had to do? Drop everything. Everything. And follow Christ. Lord, what about my job? What about it? We got to go to another city. Well, but I work in Capernaum. Well, I got need to go to the woman at the well. That's a 2-day journey. But what about my job? You're following me. What about my family? What about them? Follow me.
Right.
That you think about you. And I'm sobering you up for a second, because that's what the rich young ruler saw. He's living a life of rich. Everything's there. Has all this stuff. Lord, I've done all the Ten Commandments since my youth. Okay, well then lay it all down and let's go. Ooh. The accommodations y'all have is a little rough. I need a bed. We don't have beds. I need a room. We don't got a room. What do y'all eat? Whatever we can find. Where do y'all go? Wherever Jesus takes us. Gonna be a no for me, dog. That's what he told him. Backed out. Hey, went away sorrowful. Went away sad. Like, I can't give that. I can't give all of that. But we're sitting here saying, that's all I have to give. That's all I have to give is me. I'm glad you don't want money. I'm glad you don't want prestige. I'm glad you don't want all those things. You just want childlike faith to set everything down aside and follow Christ. That's all we're doing. So let's take solace in that. Let's enjoy. Let's rejoice in the fact that we have set all those things down. We've laid every weight down that so easily beset us and just follow Christ. Oh, my. You know, I'm gonna read a quote over here, because this quote just... It's Brother Branham. We like Brother Branham. But I think about this all the time, because I said on New Year's, I said, you know, all the miracles in the world won't help nobody. And I was speaking from experience. But I'm going to double down on that, just in case somebody's listening in and thinks it might help. Because this church world has it confused. They really do. They think, honestly, and I'm going to tell you, they honestly think that if you do enough miracles, people will turn their heart to Christ. They believe that. They believe that if you share divine stories of how God moved in your life, you'll inspire somebody to turn their heart over. It won't happen.
Amen.
The word has to ride in there. The quickening power has to ride in on the word.
Amen.
And that's what precipitates a change.
Amen.
Now, no amount of miracles will change you.
That's right.
The miracle may get you into the house, but you still need to hear the word.
Amen.
That you got it. That's even how the pools are. The pools, that's the pools.
Yeah.
The pool is to get you into the house so you can hear the word, and then that's when the word can take over. You got to have the word, or you have no quickening power. You have no word, you don't get any faith. Without the absence of word, you don't even have the ability to believe God. So having those miracles, great. I'm not discounting them. I'm just telling you, they don't change anybody's mind. Because a lot of times people, well, if you just would show them this, show them that, they'll drop everything. They won't. They will not. If the rich young ruler didn't follow Jesus, don't tell me you're going to get somebody at work to follow you because you told them some story about some person they didn't know. They got healed. They don't care. They pretend to care. They pretend. It's just like Brother Kobe. He was talking about those stories. He said, I tell all these people, and then they don't come to church. That means they don't care. That's what that means. There's no other simple way to say it. If I tell you I got tickets to the Bengals game, just come with me, I got a suite, we're leaving out at 9. If you don't show up, that means you don't care.
Right? Like, that's simple as that. I can leave out at 9:01 knowing you don't care. Right? That's, you tell me you, I'm telling you where healing's going to happen. I'm telling you where peace of mind's going to happen. I'm going to tell you where families can get healed. I'm going to tell you where you get answers for everything. And you say, oh, that sounds just like just what I prayed for. Then Sunday morning show up and you don't get here, you don't care.
Amen.
I got to simply say that. But anyway, back to what Brother Branham said.
Amen.
This is in 1965. It says, it is the rising of the sun, paragraph 130. He says, a guy told me, I don't believe, I don't care what you'd say. If you could raise up the dead or anything and heal the sick and prove it in any way, I still don't believe. Praise God for somebody that's just honest.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times people are not even honest.
Right.
And Brother Branham said, certainly not. You're an unbeliever. Right? No need to argue with him.
Yeah.
It don't mean a thing to you. Yeah. See, this word don't mean a thing to somebody that's not a believer. Matter of fact, it wasn't even sent to you. Is sent to those who will believe. The message is to the believer. To them that perish, it's just foolishness. They think what we have is just foolishness. That's okay. Think it's just foolishness. I believe it. It was sent to me. I have an ear to receive it. When the word crosses my path, I hold on to it. When the word comes across my path, I take it in and I apply it. The message is to the believer. To them that perish is foolishness, but to them that are in Christ and part of the seed, it's life.
Amen.
The word is life to me. I have to have it. I have to receive the word. I have to. That, given my life, if that's what God asks, I have to do it. It's just something on the inside of me that says, that's nothing but the truth.
Right.
Nothing but the truth. Oh, nothing but the truth. And a lot of times people want to criticize us. Oh, you can't explain it. I wasn't asked to explain it. If I was supposed to explain it, he would have told me how to explain it. But he asked me to believe. Which one would I rather do? Something I think will work that hasn't been proven, or what he's already told me that has been proven? I go through the Bible, I see example after example of the people that just simply believe God. They said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? The evidence of things hoped for, the things not seen. Oh, that means you can't see it. That means you can't write it up. Unless God gives it to you, you can't get it. So we just rejoice in that. So when God says, take up your cross and follow me, we just simply say, amen. Oh, how long we got to walk? I don't know. You'll give me the strength. How far are we going? I don't care. You'll tell me when to stop. But what if I can't hold it up? We'll help you along the way. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Matter of fact, I thought about that. I thought, you know, one of the things that's really helped me out in life is, and this happened from, you know, and I always quote this, but happened from the surgery times, and it's going to stick with me forever. Just one day at a time.
Right.
One day at a time. Right. If there's any message I can impart on you, it's just one day at a time.
Amen.
That's it. Like, don't overthink this thing. When is the rapture? Today. Today. It's today. It's, that's how I live. That's how I believe. That's why I make it a priority to get to church. Because to me, the rapture's happening today. That's how I believe it.
Amen.
And you say, well, Brother Jay, is that transforming going on now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going on right now.
Yeah.
The revival's going on right now.
Amen.
My soul has already been changed.
Yeah.
It's already happened. I'm almost there.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, God has been so gracious to me that he's revealed to me that my soul has changed.
Amen.
That I have evidence of a new birth.
Amen.
I've accepted my day in its message.
Amen.
That's my evidence that I have a new birth, that I'm eternally secure. Oh, my, my, my. It made me think Brother Jeremiah was preaching on that on the God's Power Transform, and he made a statement, and it just cracked me up because it just reminded me how long me and Jeremiah have been together. Been friends for a long time. When we were kids, we used to play video games. Anybody that's a gamer knows this stuff. But they got little codes in games. And it's like up, down, left, right, A, B, blah, blah, blah. And you put those codes in, and Jeremiah said, he didn't say anything about a game, but he said, God can heal up, down, left, right, or whatever. And it just instantly made me think of those games, because we'd get together and play a game. It was like Double Trouble or Double Dragon or something. And the biggest gift that you can get in a video game is the ability to never die.
Right.
That's the ultimate code. You can beat any game if you have that ability. You're not worried anymore when you see the fiery furnace. You're not scared anymore when the enemy's there. You're like, I'll never die. I got all day to beat you. I got all day to defeat you. Yeah, I'll never die. And I thought, you know, in the simplest form, that's how I'm walking around now. I'm like, Satan, I got all day. You'll never beat me. If you want to take this body, I got another one waiting. I am ready for whatever you have. I have a peace of mind that no matter how big the mountain is, no matter how fiery furnace you want to get, the gates of hell cannot prevail against me. I've got eternal life. That's the gift that we have in this hour, is to know that we have eternal life. Through the ages, they didn't know that. But that's our gift that we have, is that we know we have eternal life. So when you're afraid of everything, I'm thinking, you haven't put that code in. You haven't put that code in. Whoa, what's going to happen in my life? What do you mean what's going to happen in your life? You're eternally secure. Your footsteps are ordered.
Amen.
God sees around corner. He's been taking care of you your whole life. Go back and just think about all the things that he's done for you. Just look at all the examples that God's done for you. He's been transforming you. Every service you get, a little bit more transformed. A little bit more transformed. You know, the first time you come in here, you don't even know you got a soul. Let me just show you how much you've been transforming. First time you come in here, you don't even know that a soul exists. You're like, I'm flesh. And then we're like, no, you're three realms. Well, okay, I can understand the spirit a little bit. Now I get it. Okay. Imagination, that makes sense. That's not on this. And then we go, yeah, but Satan's got access to those. And you start thinking, you go, yeah, he does. You just take 2 seconds of thinking. Satan will end right in there. He's that darkness. You think about any moment, your best day of life, and you'll be like, oh, Satan's in there. Worst day, yep, Satan's in there. He's got access to all those things. But then you get in here, and God starts talking to you. And you go, I do have a soul. Oh, I am made up of three. And you just start that transform, stirring up your mind by way of pure remembrance. That's God on the inside of there saying, you know that's me in there. And you're like, oh, I now that you say that, I have been a little different. I thought I was just weird. I didn't know why I even like church, right? Because in this hour, just to even go to church is strange. Right? As a young person, we're talking about our young people. Just to even care about church under 21 is weird. It's just strange. They got so many other things. They're everything. They got a lot of stuff going on. But to even believe God, to even know that there's a God, these are changes, little incremental changes. Every time God speaks to you, you get another change and another change. Then you come in here and you get the realization that you have a soul, and you're like, okay, well, how is my soul? Then you get a revelation that your soul is taken care of. Satan don't have access to your soul. And no matter what you're going through, that soul is just saying, amen, 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 amen to the word. And then it lets you rest a little bit more. Because you can go, even when my flesh is messing up, my soul is saying amen to the word. Even when my spirit realm won't let me forget something, and it's giving me an issue with forgiving somebody, my soul is just lockstep right in there. And I'm not even giving room for errors. I'm just letting you know that they happen. That's just how it works, like Brother Jeremiah said. That's just how it works. But as you learn more, as God keeps revealing more to you, you grow. You grow. It's that seed on the inside of you. The more we water it, the more it's going to grow. Not only do you go from not even knowing that the soul is there, then you get eternally secure that you stop doubting where your soul is even going. Amen. So now heaven, going to heaven no longer is an option. You know you come from heaven. So of course I'm going back to heaven. So then you understand that you're secure. Then God keeps talking to you. Can he hide anything from you? No. He just keeps revealing himself to you. Then he lets you know, hey, not only are you okay, all that love you and all that you love are okay. Oh, wait. I thought I could only put this code on me. I thought only I was taken care of. You mean all that I love, all that love me is taken care of too? That should give you rest if you really believe it. If you really believe that, it should give you rest. It should change how you even look at it. It should change how you pray. It changes everything. It changes even and it's strange because, like, I know I'm talking to people that it's happened to, but it's hard to explain. It's like, and we always use the example of like a pregnant woman, but it really is true. Unless you had a baby, you can't talk about having a baby, right? Like, unless you've had a new birth, it's hard to explain it. You guys get me, but I'm trying to put it out there in radio land. Like, I'm like, I don't even know how to even best say it, but when it happens, it just happens. Like, there's no, you think you got to work it up. There's no working it up. Try to think back when you didn't know what 2 + 2 was. You just always knew. You're like, I mean, I knew I took math in first grade, maybe then, but as far back as I can remember, I've always knew. That's how I feel when I think back about how long God's been in my life. As far back as I can remember, He's been taking care of me, guiding me, protecting me, seeing over me, making sure all my footsteps have been ordered. He's, matter of fact, I even thought about how we even deal with Satan. He has no power. No power. The brother was talking about how, like, even when we get over there, we'll narrowly look upon him. We do that now. We do that now. We're not fooled by Satan. There's not a trick that Satan can bring upon us that we don't already know. Amen. Matter of fact, I see Satan coming. Yep. I can see him coming. That means we're separate. Right? If I can see him approaching, that means he's not with me. That means I can see him coming. I have to invite him, almost like a vampire. Come on across this threshold and hang out with me for a little bit. That's what you have to do in this hour with this level of understanding, with this much maturity, with this much word being preached, that you ought to almost invite Satan. You got to almost make it a bad day. You got to get up and deny the existence of God. The sun's not shining. The sun's not shining. The sun's not shining. That's what you'd have to do to deny God right now. Because God's power of transformation has been so strong in this body, you can see it for yourself.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Jay, you told me about Paul. You told me about David. Where can I see him for myself? Oh, my goodness. Have I not been so long with you? That's what they did to Jesus. If you would just show us the Father, then we'd be satisfied. Have I not been so long with you? Have you not seen me do all the things he said I would do? Before I got here, they prophesied of a group that would be able to look all the way back. This is that group. Then before they said, before we get out of here, there's got to be a group that he can find favor in. How can you find favor? You got to have a group that has faith. Who has more faith? Rapturing faith wasn't even available till the end time, Brother Isaiah. It wasn't even available. They didn't even have rapturing faith through the ages. It wasn't even available. This is the highest form of faith you can get. Oh, my. Let's read a scripture. I'd be remiss if I didn't read one. I love what God's doing for us. Because he just keeps blessing us. Now, I don't even think I gave a title, but a living sacrifice. Let that be the title. So I was thinking about this. I got two scriptures I want to read. But I thought about, and this goes back to Paul. Because when Paul was going out and ministering, now we talked about Paul a little bit, but when Paul was going out and ministering, Paul got to a point where God had told him to go talk to the Gentiles. Yeah. Paul still had a little bit of his own thinking in there. He was like, they're dirty. I can't talk to them people. Been talking to me for a while, Lord, thank you. But talking to Gentiles, yeah, not going to do it. Peter. Peter said that, I'm not going to do it. Not going to go talk to them. Guy was like, listen, when I call something clean, when I've made it clean, I've made it clean. You don't you dare call it unclean. That was over in Acts. He said it for the second time. He said, listen, I'm tired of talking to you about this. That's how it is when you're talking to your kids. See, you get to the point where you say, hey, this is the second time I done told you. All right, you're about to get to that third strike. That's how God said it over in Acts. We'll read it. We'll read it over in Acts. He said, let's read it here. He said over in Acts, he said, and the voice spake to him again. And the second time, what God hath cleansed, thou call not thou common. Don't call what I call clean dirty. It ain't even, matter of fact, he even used the word common. Don't even call it common. They're not just regular people. These are my people. Amen. Change your tune when you're talking to that group. That's how I even love how even Brother Kevin said it. He said, you know, they would say we're ragtag. We're not ragtag. Ain't nothing ragtag about me when it comes to serving God. I'm the strongest group of believers you've ever seen. This is the most powerful group of believers that ever existed.
This is the strongest church that's on the face of the earth when you talk about serving God. Now, I may not measure up on all these other levels, but what do I do with the word?
Amen.
The only thing that I'm judged by. What do I do with that? Oh, my. I passed that test with flying colors. When the word comes across my path, I agree with it quickly. That's what's required to get this transformation going. You've got to believe with the word quickly. You know that even helps you with selfishness? It really does. Because the more you think about it, the more you're going to put your own idea on it.
Amen.
On how it can benefit you. It's you know, we're talking about shoveling snow. I hate shoveling snow. I do. I hate it. Right? It's like one of those things. I just hate it. It's like pointless. Especially if it's snowing. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm just telling you about me. But the faster you go do it, the easier it is. You wait till the snows fall for 4 days. Terrible. It's heavy. Is it? Terrible. But you watched it for 4 days. Get worse and worse and worse and heavier and heavier. But if you just go do it right then, let me go knock this out right now. Honey, I know you got to go to work in a couple hours. Let me just go shovel the snow right now. Just go. That's just shoveling snow. That's how it works with the Word of God. God tells you to testify. You wait 3 weeks, it's going to be impossible to do it. One, it's going to be a lie. Two, you're going to start hearing all these powerful testimonies. You're going to feel even weaker about yourself. Because you're going to, from first week, you're going to see somebody get up that couldn't get up. The second time they get up, you're going to be like, man, God's just blessing them. God's just really using them. God, and then you get behind Seth, and you got to sit there for a half an hour. That's your bad. You should have got up first. Right? That's how this works. That's your bad. You sat there and watched the snow fall. You should have just jumped up when God told you, and it would have been easier. Right? These are just simple examples of what God can do. And I know we use this place as an example. This is like the locker room when we use it all the time. This is the easiest place to serve God.
Amen.
This is the easiest place you're around believers that are going to support you, encourage you. It's not weird when you wave your hand as a young person in here. We encourage you. It's not weird when you want to sing a song in here. Sister Mel, we join in with you. But you go out there and try to sing a song. It looks strange. You go out there and take a buddy to the airport and want to play your Christian music. You look weird. But in here, it's the easiest place. But what I'm saying is, if you can't move when God tells you to move in here, stop telling me what you do out there. I don't even believe you. You're lying. You're lying. You're just lying. Because this is the easiest place to serve God. When God tells you to do something, just do it. He'll work out all the other details. Oh, Lord, I'm not smart enough. You're smart enough. You can understand the instructions. That makes you smart enough to do what he's asking you to do. I'm just telling you, people, the more I'm in this thing, the more I see people get tripped up. And it's not that I understand how this works. If your pastor can't pull you back in, I don't even try. I know my place. But in my head, I think, if you just would have moved quicker. If you would have just stopped saying, I can't do this. That's what even got those people in trouble in the Bible. They said, can God? Instead of God can. That's what you do. And I'm going to get to another scripture here in a second. But I thought, we were driving past Moore's at the airport and went past that Smokey Bones sign. You guys all know that story now, Smokey Bones. But in that story, when Pastor Moore told me about being a minister, I don't know if you guys heard the part where he said, then Brother Jay said, wait 2 weeks, let me talk to my wife about it. That didn't happen. Right? No, I'm just telling you. Just telling you how this thing works. Then Brother Jay looked at his work schedule to see if he could preach on Wednesdays before he committed to it. No. He just said, okay, Lord, you've been with me this far. You've carried me this far. Do I know how to preach? No. Do I even have a Bible that I would be worthy enough to bring up there? No. These are true statements. Have you read all the books? No. These are all true. So I was nervous, scared. I'm about to step into the unknown. I'm about to go walk on water.
Yes, you are.
And I looked at the pastor and he said, you know what? Just bring a scripture and maybe a quote and just share what's on your heart. And I said, okay. He said, bring a scripture and a quote. I'm a minimalist. I was like, one, two, sit down. One, two, sit down. Now I'm able to walk around and sing a little bit, but that's just more faith, just trusting God. Every service I come in here and they give me something else, I go, oh, I can do two steps now. I hear Brother Jeremiah preaching, I go, oh, I can do four steps now. Then Pastor Moore preaches on Sunday, and I can do five steps now. I'm just telling you, and then I hear somebody testify, and I go, ooh, I can add that, and I can add that, and I can add that. And eventually, I'm whooping the devil every left and right. First, I look like David, and now I look like David. Right? That's how I looked. Yeah, that's how it worked. First, I was meek. You didn't bring me to the party. You didn't invite me to the fellowship. Now you can't have a fellowship without me. That's how this thing works. That's just an example of transformation that you can see for yourself. And that's in every one of our lives. God did this. I didn't do this. God did this to you. Each and every one of us that made it here today, God has been moving in our life. Every single service, you've been getting stronger and stronger and picking up on this thing. That's why I even love how that brother even brought no fear. That tied right in to Sister Daisy. He don't know it, but we know it. We heard him get up and we were like, there it is, vindication. God's getting Pastor Moore ready. He must have been afraid about something. We were all afraid about him going to India, unknown territory, all these things. And that brother came in on a Wednesday night, just slid in and said, hey, little bride, comfort one another with these words. No, fear not. Go on, be courageous. Go do the job you got to do. You're already going to win. You got to fight, though, but God's with you. He don't even know why he had to come here. He don't even know why he had to preach that. But we know. We were sitting there saying, ain't nothing but the truth, brother. Amen. He's like, I don't know why I want to talk about this or talk about that. We know. We know. From the mouth of babes. We heard God say that's the direction. We know what God wants to do. And as a bride, we just say, yay and amen. Oh, he didn't face no resistance when he came up here to preach. We were just sitting there saying, what do you want, Lord? What do you want to give us? We need another word from you. We're coming here expecting. Lord, you sent this messenger to preach to us, and we're going to do what he says to do. That's why our atmosphere is different than everywhere else you go, because we don't have an agenda. We don't have no preset agenda. We come in here as a living sacrifice just to hear what God wants to give us. Lord, whatever you want to give me, that's what I want to receive. Oh, my saints. See, I can't even, when the more I think about it, I think, you know, I just want to make sure we got that order right, is that without the word, he has no ability to do anything else. Right? That's why miracles, that's why good feelings, that's why emotions, that's why all these other things that people can say, they don't stick. You got to have the word. That's the only thing. That's why even the Bible says, let every man's word be a curse and my word be true. This is the only thing that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand. His word is the only thing he's obligated to. When God gives you a word, that's what he's obligated to stand on. That's what he's obligated to quicken. So when he gives you that word, he's obligated to bring the understanding to it. Because it's his word. He's got to bring the understanding. And matter of fact, the Bible even says that God can't argue with himself. He can't argue with himself. So when we say there's a deep, that soul of yours, calling to the deep of God, that's an agreement. When God speaks, I say amen. And when I speak, he says amen. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that whatever you loose, whatever you bind, I'll loose and bind in heaven. He didn't say the other way around. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you what to loose, and I'll tell you what to bind. He said, whatever you loose and whatever you bind. He's giving you all power. Oh, my saints. And we couldn't give him our life? Somebody that's given us everything? He's given us eternal life. And we can't give him a couple of years? A couple of minutes? A couple of seconds? Because see, even, you know, no matter how you want to slice this pie, you know, you say, well, I open my hand and God's going to take everything. Does he really, though? Right? Nobody has a Brother Rosaldo story, so don't even try to lie to me. Right? And even his story, God didn't take all his time. Brother Rosaldo is living a good life. When we go to visit him, he was having a good time. Him and his wife and had enjoyed each other's company. He had things he had to go through, but God was still blessing him. That brother was blessed. He was living a happy life, like he was blessed. And we get over here, and people were living in Fairborn, closest to the fountain that you can get. You acting like you got a miserable life. Like, oh, I'm just doing this for the Lord. Don't tell me you're suffering and martyring your life for the Lord. God's been too good to you. Act like you over here just living at the rough side of the mountain. You need to pay attention to church then. Wake up. This ain't the rough side of the mountain, bub. We're sitting here on high listening to God. This is not down in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Abraham condition, where we're just sitting there fellowshipping with God, eating in communion. When the rest of the world is in chaos, we're in light. Don't act like you got it so hard. Not with this understanding. Not with this level of teaching. Not with the answers to everything. Come on. If you got a health issue, God's got an answer. If you got a financial issue, God's got an answer. You've got a family issue, God's got an answer. You got a work issue, God's got an answer. And not just, oh, tough through it. Be like a mule and barely make it. You know, because see, some of the church world will have you just be mule-faced and be humble and just get slapped around by life and never stand up. I never seen that here. Brother Childers never did that. Pastor Moore don't do that. Now, so why do you do it? Why is your life a mess? And I'm looking at this because sometimes people will make, well, I'm following Christ, and you know they didn't have a bed to sleep on. He didn't have one. You have one, right, brother? Didn't you try to act like you got to live Brother Branham's life? God didn't commission you for Brother Branham. Did you open the seals?
No.
Right. Hey, I'm just making it plain talk, as easy to understand. Act like you got it so hard, and everybody didn't ask you to preach. You got it so hard, we don't got you scheduled to testify.
Right.
You got it so hard, we don't got a song that you even know. Come on. You got it so hard, you ain't on the church cleaning list. You ain't opening the church. You ain't closing the church. You don't know how to turn on the lights in the church. You don't know how to shovel the church. You don't know how to cut the grass. You don't know how to clean the church. What are you doing that's so hard? What are you doing that's so hard?
Come on.
I'm just plain. I just want to be plain with you. This is Brother Jay from his heart saying, come on. This ain't hard. This ain't rocket scientists. This is the easiest time to serve God there ever was. Oh, Brother Jay, there's 200 million demons loose, but I'm stronger than 200 million demons. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. I'm more than an overcomer. Oh, don't tell me this thing is getting you down when you're following Christ. Because, see, the church world will have you think, oh, I got to carry my cross. It's so heavy. You're more than able. The Bible says his yoke is light. His burden is easy. He'll never put more on than you can stand. Oh, this is easy. Oh, Brother Jay, you don't know my life. I may not know your life. Part of it because you're probably a liar. You're lying. You're deceiving. Right? You're going through hard times and not letting me know. You're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not being around the body. I can't even see that you're having a hard time. You're hiding. It's part of it. That's probably 70% of it. But the other part is you're not listening. Because every time I see somebody listen, I see God prospering in their life. Not just on credit score, but in their life. Right? Because the church world will have you thinking, oh, you got a new car, you prosper. That ain't prosper. That's just a car payment. If you can afford it, you can afford it. That has nothing to do with God at all. There's atheists that have new cars. Has nothing to do with God at all. But you have a stable mind. You've got an understanding of this revelation. You understand your hour. You can see where God is moving. That's blessings.
Amen.
You got a church family that loves and cares for you. That's blessings. You got a pastor that looks out for you, protects you, tells you the truth. That's blessings. You got real friends that'll take care of you, cover for you, help you along the way, give you food when you need it. That's blessings. So if you're out here struggling, that means you have bypassed every single one of them blessings. Oh. Oh, you know, sometimes I shake myself. I'll shake myself. You know what I do sometimes? I'll remind myself of those times when I couldn't get here. That motivates me. When I would lay there and couldn't get here, no matter where I was laying, in the hospital, in the house, wherever, I'd lay there and couldn't move, couldn't get up, and I'd hear y'all testifying, and I'd be like, if you just let me get up one more time. One more time. I'm not asking for 100. But if you let me get up one more time, I'll show you what I can do. Oh, that's every service. Every service I shake myself. Oh, Brother Jay, you get tired. I get tired all the time. I want to sleep in all the time. Don't fool yourself. I got a nice house. I got a great bed. I got a family that loves me. I got a TV in my room. I love laying down and watching TV. I can stay in my room all day. I'm just telling you facts. But when service comes around, there's a sense of obligation that overrides comfort, overrides heat, overrides family, overrides job. I change even my work schedule if I think they're going to get in the way of church. I'd be like, whoa, y'all going to have to end early or we're going to have to do this tomorrow. But I got somewhere I got to be. I got people that are depending on me. Not just the local assembly. People around the world are depending on us to get this message out. They don't have preachers like us around the world that stay down the middle of the road. Oh, Pastor Moore told you about how he preached the marriage and divorce in Africa with polygamists. Come on now. Come on. They started off the service letting him know what time it was. He said, we don't practice polygamy in America. And they said, but we do. That should let you know the temperature of the room. That they're interrupting the service lets you know, hey, we do. And to still preach a message that the brothers can hold on to for years, they still got the notes from that message. And that's every service we preach. That's just one example. Matter of fact, that's even, you know, there was a brother that changed his message one time, and they went back over there in the Philippines, and they were like, wait, you said in 1997, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you changed, brother. That's what they can do.
Amen.
That's what that internet can do. As much as we broadcast it, they can hold on to what you say. Right. They can hold on to that.
Yeah.
But all these years, take note of whatever I'm saying.
Amen.
I ain't changed. Yeah. And if an angel from heaven comes saying any other word Amen. Than what I'm telling you right now, let it be a curse.
Amen.
If I come back and tell you something different than what I'm telling you right now, let me be a curse.
Amen.
Oh, my. See, that's the kind of God I follow. You know, a lot of times people, even when they wanted to be a disciple, and we're using that term today, but it's just being a follower. It's a great name for a follower. People don't want to be followers. They don't. Everybody wants to be the boss. Everybody wants to lead. But unless you know how to do it, you're just going to make a mess. You're going to make a mess. You know, there's some people that don't know how to delegate. They don't. They'll tell you to do something and then follow you the whole time. And you're like, wait a minute. Am I doing it or are you doing it? Like, who's doing it? But that's just because they don't know how to delegate. Or maybe they don't trust you. Right? That happens too. That means you don't know how to do the job. Right? I'm just telling you. But these are just simple things. But I'm looking at it. I'm going, we're disciples. We're supposed to be following. We're following this thing. We're running this race with patience, staying right with our pastor, right with our leadership. We don't want to get ahead of him. You don't even have the ability to do it. I like to throw that in there sometimes, because sometimes you want to read the Bible and think you got smart. Never. You will never. God speaks to him first. That's why you'll never get hired at him. You only get the message because he gave it to you. And I know people, that's subservient. That's just how leadership works. It's 1 to 2 to 3. That's how it works. It goes from the top down. I know this world has got everybody confused, thinking everybody's got a right to say something. Everybody's got a right to do something. But in the house of God, we only want to hear what God says. Matter of fact, even Brother Branham said, hey, when the angel comes, right? Brother Branham had a boss. He said, when the angel comes, you got to say what the angel said. Oh, I had all my ideas. I had all these things, but I would have made a terrible mess of it. That's what the prophet said. Until the angel come, that's the same thing with your life. Oh, I had an idea how I was going to raise my kids, but then the angel came. And I dropped my ideas. I would have made a terrible mistake. I would have never whooped my kids. Never. Maybe. No, I kid with you guys, but I love what we get here because it's so balanced. There's just every service is balanced. Everything that we get here, it just makes sense to believers. And then people walk away, and I go, how do you walk away from this? This thing has changed my whole life. My whole life has been transforming. Every one of us has been transforming. You went from a point where you didn't even know who God was. We all went there. Where you didn't even know where God was, if God existed, how God talked, how God sounded, what God looked like, what God wanted. To now, you not only know what God wants, you know how he sounds. You know what he looks like. It should be easy to follow God now. This is the easiest time to follow God. He's not moving in a cloud. He's not in some unknown tongues. He's not a light above. He's talking to you every service. He's leading and guiding us every service.
The leadership is so perfect every service. So the more I look at this, I'm saying, if you can't give your life, you don't even know who God is. Because the Bible even goes over and says, if God be God, let me start how it says. It says, why halt you between two opinions? Why is this so confusing? Why are you struggling with this? If God be God, then just serve him. That's it. That's it. Just serving. Anyway, I'm going to read one last scripture, and I'm going to get down here. I love you guys so much. Now, here we go. We'll go over in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, and this is over in verse 49, and we'll just a couple of scriptures here. It's good reading, though. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Praise God for that. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When you understand the realm, you understand that statement. Flesh and blood won't inherit the kingdom. No matter whose flesh and blood, it will not be there. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be asleep. Uh-oh. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortality shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Death don't have no sting no more. Oh, I got the cold now. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not sometimes. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we do is not in vain. Giving our life is not in vain. I don't do this for some haphazard thing. This is a real revelation to me. Oh, my, my, my. Great is our reward. You know, there's people that wouldn't give you a tinker for your token, that don't care about this thing at all, that don't want this thing at all. They don't even want to serve God. But yet, here we sit this Sunday morning. The Word of God is life to us. It is life to us. I'm going to read one last scripture, and then I'm going to get down. This one last one came to me. 1 John 3 and 7, 17. I'll read this, and I'll close up. Brother Jeremiah. 3 and 17. I got one last scripture here. I love these scriptures. The more I'm reading them. Verse 17. Here we go. It says, but whosoever hath faith in God's word and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the light of love of God in him? Right. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do something. Do something with it to show our love, not just in tongue. Words, they're a pacifier. That's really what they are. If you've had a little baby, a pacifier don't feed you. You give a baby a pacifier, that ain't milk. That ain't water. It just stops them from crying for a little bit. Until that hunger really sets in. Then they're going to want a bottle. They're going to want something to eat. That's how words are when you tell somebody you love them. It pacifies you for a little bit. Until I need to see you act in love, it's got to manifest, though. In words, it's just pacifier. I need to see it in deed and in truth. Oh, it's good enough to care for me, but if I'm hungry, give me a bowl of soup. That'll fix my hunger. Telling me I'm praying for you, that won't fix it. Oh, it's nice that you care about me, but fix a bowl of soup. Give me a piece of bread. That'll let me know that you really care about my hunger. If the church has a need, do something about it. Oh, I can't tithe. Give a dollar. Give what you can give. Right? Like, don't let Satan enter in there at all. You're thinking about it too long. You're thinking wrong. Give what you can give. If you can give an hour to the church, give an hour. Start there until God moves something else on your heart to give you more time to open up your schedule. But just give God everything you have. And you go, well, I don't have a lot. Well, give him all of that.
Because, oh, Brother Jay, where are you getting at? Oh, when they talked about that woman with that meal. That's where I got this from. She didn't have a 7-course meal to give the prophet. She didn't have steak and potatoes, glass, something to drink, some salad before the meal, a dessert. She said, all I got is enough meal. It was really not even enough for me and my son. We was going to die today. I was going to feed him, and I was going to die, and then he was going to die. But since you asked, I'll give you what I have. This is all I have. I'm going to give you all that I have. Oh, did she have a whole barrel of food? No. Did she have a whole liter of water? No. She had just enough meal to make one meal. That's what it says. She had just enough meal to make that one. God took that and kept giving it and kept giving it and kept giving it. You know what? She never ran out. That's how this thing works. Oh, Brother Jay, my work schedule's crazy. Oh, Brother Jay, my kids are crazy. I can't give God. Give God what you can give him. Don't overcomplicate this thing. Give God your all. Give him all you can give him. And then he'll add to it. He'll add to it. You say, man, you know, they switched my schedule. I'm now on first shift now. I was on second shift. I couldn't ever make Wednesdays. Now I can make Wednesdays. You know they're starting to close on the weekends. And we're Monday through Friday now. I can make it to church on Sundays. I'm just telling you how it happens. If that's your desire. Now, what will happen the other way if that's not really your desire? Yeah, they're keeping me on third shift. The whole while you've been volunteering for overtime. Right? Oh, yeah, they said I could have off Saturday, but I'd have to work Sunday. So, you know, my Saturdays are important. It's like, ah, okay. I'm just telling you stuff that happens. And even Brother Jeremiah's opened my eyes on, you know, even open up your house. You know, that's important because you get selfish. Right? Oh, it's my room, my TV, my food, my. And cleaning up after people is terrible, especially in this weather. Right? Coming in with your dirty shoes. Right? Come on now. We're family. Let's be real. Oh, my house ain't that big. Y'all can't come over. Maybe we do it in shifts. Two of you and then two of you. I can't do it every week. Can't feed you all the time. I'm just telling you how Satan will throw that in there. Oh, I only got a 2-bedroom. You got a yard? Why don't you do the fellowship at the church then? Right? I'm just telling you little ways to get Satan out of there. And you ain't got to take them all, but they help. I'm just telling you stuff that help. Don't limit it. Maybe you lead the fellowship, but it's at the church. Maybe you lead the fellowship at somebody else's house. But don't limit God. Don't limit him. Don't put your caps on it. Don't because all you're doing is stopping your own blessing. And then you know what'll happen? Two knucklehead boys that only have a 1-bedroom house. Because that's what we had. A 1-bedroom house. My brother Childers 1-bedroom, so like half a bedroom. Now, there was a closet. Yeah, ictho facto closet, right? But that was our house.
Right.
We were proud of it. We invited the whole church over there. Just two dumb kids thinking that we were going to take care of the whole church. And guess what? We poured out our little bit of meal, and the church said, oh, that's cute. You got a bowl of soup? We were like, yeah, we're going to feed everybody. We got one bag. We got 2 boxes of Ritz crackers, a bowl of chili. We're good. They'll eat that. They should eat before they come anyway. Right? And the church was like, oh, boys, hold on. Brought over some food, brought over some things so we could have our fellowship.
Amen.
But we didn't limit God. We didn't limit him. And that thing's still going on today from two little people, two young boys that just thought, you know what? Let's just give God what we got. This is all we got. We got a TV and some speakers. Let's give it to him. We got a couch and some carpet. He can have it. But I'm just telling you the little examples there. But God will just keep blessing and keep blessing and keep blessing. These are just examples for you. You have a bunch of them in your own life. But these are just examples that God can move. You just open up and give it to him. Now, we use Kara all the time. That's why I thought I'd use me and Jeremiah this time. She opened up her hand, and we got Henry and AJ from it. They've been a blessing. Oh, my goodness, they've been a blessing. The songs that we have now, we're moving like light speed just getting songs. I appreciate Brother Isaiah even that singing that song. That was a new song that's added in our book already. I mean, that's a blessing. That comes from Kara opening her hand to get AJ. That's where that comes from. Right? If Kara doesn't do what she does, we don't have what we have. That's just as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You know, so I praise God for what we get here. Be a living sacrifice, saints. It's worth it. I know it's going to be a fight, but you're ready for the fight. You're more than able for the fight. We're more than able. When they talk about the army, when God was dwindling down Gideon's army. He had more than enough. They had more than enough to take care of what was going on. Oh, it was from the thousands to the hundreds, but he still had more than enough. Still had more than enough. Oh, and Brother Isaiah even said, he said, if one can send 1,000, two can send 10,000. We got more than enough to send Satan to flight. We've got more than enough. So don't let Satan get in your mind about anything. Don't let him bring in fear. Don't let him bring in the strength. Don't let him bring in intelligence. None of those things can hinder God. Don't limit God. Nothing's impossible for God. You know, even how that brother said, he said, you know, when you look through God's eyes, the what we call his miracles is just normal. This is just normal to God. His healing is just normal. Him doing these things, him opening up the revelation, that's normal for him. Him giving you a better understanding, that's normal for him. We go, oh, it's supernatural. God is supernatural. So it's just natural to God. It's supernatural to me, but it's just natural to God. What he wants to do, he can do it. He can raise up a rock. But I'm here to say you don't need to, Lord. You got one. You got one. That's how even Brother Childers would say, if there's going to be one from Fairborn, you got him right here. And we can all say that. There's going to be one. You got him. I'm right here. I'm your man. I'm your woman for this job. I can get this done. So God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Enjoyed that. Being a living sacrifice. Yeah, that is our one. I think it's Ecclesiastes. Solomon says that's the sole duty of man is to serve God. And we do believe that. It's our reasonable service to present our bodies to God. And, you know, Paul even made a comment one time, "No, you're not. You are the temple of God." And he said, and you know, he went on to say, "You won't destroy that temple. You shouldn't want to destroy that temple. You know, you should want to present it as a temple of God." And you know, this thing is a process. You know, you must be born again. And that's the starting part. And, you know, you're talking about Paul, and, God is a name changer, because really Paul's name was Saul. And Saul was a good Jew. And when people were professing Christ, he didn't, at that time, go along with it. Right. He persecuted the believers at that time, strongly persecuted the believers, and killed them. And thank God for his amazing grace, right? Amen. And, you know, as we've always been taught here, it's easier to give grace when you need it. Yeah. And Paul didn't have a problem giving grace because he knew he needed grace. But what God did is God pricked Paul's heart. Yeah. And he gave him a new birth, and he pricked his heart. And that's what happens to each and every believer. God deals with you, and he changes your nature, and he pricks your heart. And then what happens is God knows exactly what he wants from you. He knows when he wants it from you, how fast he wants it from you. And he'll talk to you. And our job is just to come here and listen, take the word, because we're believers, and apply it to our lives. But let God change you. Let's do it on his time, because you know what the devil does? He'll lie to you. You know, his trick is that he always wants to try to get you to feel isolated. Say you came into, because I think about how great 2024 was for us, right? And you come in 2024 and you like vanilla ice cream, and you leave 2024 and you still like vanilla ice cream. The devil will come and say, "Well, see, you haven't changed. There's nothing about you." Yet the whole time you're coming to church earlier. You're getting up and testifying. You know, the change is not always. And I always like to say, God will dress you. He'll change you that way. And maybe some of you did change that way. But it ain't always that way what changes. You know, I can speak for myself. I have a stronger understanding now that I have more to do with this than I thought I did. And because I have a stronger understanding that I have more to do with this than I thought I did, it has changed the way I live life. Right. It has changed the way I think about applying the word to my life. It has made me a stronger Christian in that sense.
Amen.
But I still like vanilla ice cream. Right. And the devil would almost say, "Well, you haven't changed because you still have the one habit you've always had." But not realize God changed me the way he wants to change me. Amen. Turning me into what he wants to turn me into. And that's the trick. And I say it's a process because God's always on time. He does it. If he needs to do something quick, he'll tell you. Yeah. and you'll move because the bride will turn quickly to the word. Right. Amen. But at the end of the day, it is your reasonable service to give him what he wants. Yeah. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah. Right. God loves obedience. I was thinking, you was talking about leadership. You know, the way that the Bible teaches leadership or preaching or anything, it's foolishness to these unbelievers. You said it. To them that will perish. They don't want nothing to do with this. You know, even Jesus himself said, I do nothing until the Father first shows me. And then Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then he said, God will put pastors over you. They'll have charge over you. That's just the scripture. And people think, well, that's just subservient. But what they don't realize is it's peace. It's direction. It's vision. And without a vision, the people perish. And this ain't a dominating thing and a rulership thing. This is God helping you. Whether he's rebuking you or patting you on the back, God's helping us. And I thank God for good leadership. I thank God it's not all in my hands. I thank God that he sent a prophet to help me along the way. I thank God I got a pastor that's ordained to lead me through. Thank God you got a husband. Thank God you got parents. Thank God you have a good boss at work and all the above. You know, just because the world don't like it doesn't mean it's not right. But you're a living sacrifice. You are God to do what God wants. He wants to use you on this side. And you know what? You might still like vanilla ice cream, but don't let the devil condemn you. Send him on his way. See, that's another thing I grew in 2024. I grew about this pope telling the devil to sit down and not even bother me. More, I believe in that stronger than I ever have. Not because I'm humanly powerful and going to push him over there. No, spiritual warfare, I'm stronger. Like, you have no room here. You're tempting God. It's not even lawful for you to do so. So I don't worry as much as I used to worry. I'm resting more than I've ever rested in my life. That's real change. That's real dedication. That's God changing me. Not because I want to change. That's what Paul wanted to change, right, one day. He's like, Lord, take this from me. Take this from me. But that's not what God wanted. God says, you're going to keep that one because you're going to make you need my grace. And so we want to do what God, that's what being a living sacrifice is about, is doing what God wants out of our lives. You do that, you'll be right where you're supposed to be. I appreciate you, Brother James, taking this morning service. Enjoyed it. You know, tell on him a little bit, because this is what preachers do. We'll get underneath that anointing of a good service, and we'll accidentally say, I'm turned on, I'm ready. And then, you know, you let a few days pass, and you get away from the service. I told you this before. You don't feel that so strongly as you did. But he messed up. He said last Sunday he was stirred up and ready for Wednesday. That was before we knew we were going to have a visitor. And I thought, well, if he was ready for Wednesday, he should be ready for Sunday. And so I appreciate you being willing and presenting your body, a living sacrifice, being the example of what you preach. That's all of us can do. So love you, and let's don't forget Brother Moore. He's on his way, and I can't wait to hear the good report. I know God's going to bless it. God's in it. If God sends you, he'll back you up. And so we're just trusting him on that. Just the more you let us know if you need anything, we got your back. If this knows, we'll come shovel that driveway for you if we have to. So we got you covered. And love each and every one of you. Don't forget tonight, we are going to have service at 7, so come on back and come on up, musicians. And I see it again, maybe it's because it's in the A's, but I want to sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost.
10,000 years.